My name is Eric Barton. The company is Lexlin Gypsy Ranch, and I'm the president and CEO of the business.
First of all, tell me about the Gypsy Vanner breed of horses. What makes them a unique breed?
The Romani Gypsies had developed a breed over several decades. What makes a horse unique is, one, just the look of the horse, the flashiness and the style and the way they carry themselves, but also, and more importantly, it's the temperament. The horses are very fond of people, and so by that I mean, if you go into a field of even untrained horses, they want to come up and just be around you. And so people that have been around other breeds find that generally to be pretty amazing, that we can walk into a field of untrained horses and they all kind of run up to you, want to be touched, they want to be just have your attention. And so a lot of times they'll even be pestering you in the field as they follow you throughout the pasture. So I think that the uniqueness is the look and the confirmation of the horse. Obviously they're just gorgeous, they're beautiful animals, but the foundation of what they are is a gentle natured, wonderful horse to own and to be around.
Well, how is it that they went so long without really being recognized, and when did the recognition start to come about?
Well, Dennis Thompson is he's actually the founder of the Gypsy Vanner Horse Society, and he and his wife were I believe they were in Wales, and they found Tom Price. They were driving in Wales, and they found a gypsy named Tom Price. They actually saw a horse in the field, and they had never seen a horse of that look and type, and so they went back and studied it, and they eventually found Tom, the owner, who I'm now good friends with. But Dennis decided then to bring that breed over into the United States, and so the Romy Gypsies really didn't keep a lot of records, and they didn't they sell and trade them themselves. And for a gypsy man to have the horse is kind of like having, it's a status symbol in their communities, is to have the nicest and most conformed, beautiful horse. And so Dennis saw that, and he's from Ocala, Florida. He brought the breed over, and in 96, I think, is when Kushti Bach, the first horse, was flown over. And it was pretty small for a long time. I mean, the breed, the numbers were just a few dozen over the next, 5 or 6 years. And really, I believe it's in 2004 and 5 when people started to really kind of catch on, and you had some other gypsies that started to see the market here in the United States to bring the horses over. And so, that kind of went on for the next, 6 or 7 years, bringing, good horses over on airplanes and through quarantine in New York and establishing itself. And from that, Dennis is no longer really in the society at all, in the Gypsy Vanner Horse Society, but there's been a whole new group of professional people come in and really try to establish the Gypsy Registry. And there are multiple registries, but the Gypsy Vanner Horse Society is by far the largest one and most established.
Okay. Well, tell us your story about how this became a business for you and your wife.
Well, I was actually in Dubai. I've been serving overseas as a contractor. I was on my way back, and my wife's parents, her dad's a retired Marine. He spent 30 years in the Marine Corps, and I spent 11 years in the Marine Corps, and I got out and ended up spending a few years in school and went over to Iraq to serve as a contractor. And so we bounced around quite a bit, and she's bounced around quite a bit in her life. So we finally found a home in East Tennessee that we planned on staying, and that we still plan on staying here for the long haul. And because of that, when I was in Dubai coming back after a long period of being away, I started to look around and do some searches, and I actually found Gypsy MVP out of Houston, Texas. I found an ad in a magazine, and I wanted to buy her horse, just one or two horses to ride for pleasure. And, after I spoke to some of the folks there at Gypsy MVP, Michelle and I decided to fly to Houston to look at some of their horses, and we ended up buying 7 that day. And so we came back with 7 horses. And from where we were going to put them in our on a 43-acre piece of property, we decided, well, let's look around a little bit and maybe see if we find a nice barn that's already established. And And so we started that process. And after they got here, we spent some time with them and starting other people looking at the market. You know, because of what I do for contracting, we have five children. And what she, you know, she's busy and we travel a lot. We thought, well, this would be something that we could actually, you know, together run. And so she's a vice president for that business, and she handles the sales and really dealing with the clients for the most part. But when we bought that first group of seven, we found a beautiful piece of property not too far away. And, you know, from there, we decided to buy another stallion, and then we ended up going to Wells, and she did initially, went there the first time and really toured the Wells and England, looking for other gypsy breeders and other folks that are that knew the breed, and we bought a few then, and we went back together, and we just started to buy more over there and import from Wells to for Wells, Ireland, and in some places in Eastern Europe into East Tennessee to our farm now, and you know we own 170 some plus horses at this time.
Well, tell us how you are able to help other people get into this breed, and what is kind of programs do you have available?
Well, we have a lot of different programs, and one of the things that you know we're very fortunate and over the last several years to have the resources to bring the horses over here. But what you'll find is, you know, the horses they're pretty expensive, and a lot of people just, you know, the import fees alone. Generally, for a young horse, will cost you $8,500 just for the flight and the quarantine process. Under 2 years old, if it's over two, you're going to spend another, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 in quarantine. And for a stallion, it's about $16,000 per horse to get over here. So that's a significant amount of money in shipping and transportation. And a lot of the times, when you get the horses brought over, the gypsies again didn't keep good records. And so what we've taken the time to do is really study the different lines and pull hair, get DNA, and consolidate our DNA database so that we can provide people assurances that when you're buying a horse from that mare or that, you know, that sire or that dam, that they're getting what they pay for. And so all of our horses 100% are DNA'd, and we offer buyback guarantees unconditionally for any reason. And so that gives people some, just if you're buying anyway, to come to us and to buy, knowing that we've been over there and we've seen the different lines, we have a really good representation of what the breed is throughout the world in terms of the different types, you know, phenotypes and horse lineage that's represented on our farm. So the way we've been able to go beyond that is through different types of programs. One is that we do finance. And so, you know, a lot of people come to us and they apply and we do credit checks and we look at their barn and we talk to their vet and we talk to their farrier. We're pretty thorough in how we, you know, find people that are going to own our horses. But through that process, you know, if we work with someone on what they can pay down and what they can do on a monthly basis. And so we self-finance the horses, and we've done that for dozens and dozens of families. And the other program we started last year, which is what the press release was focusing on, is the Gypsy or the Lexlin Breeder Partnership. And the breeding partnership program, we call it a partnership program, not a lease. And that is where someone can come in and really for the cost of shipping and for the cost of insurance, they can own it. They can take a horse from our property and raise care for the horse over the year. And when the mare falls out, then they have an opportunity to buy the horse at a set price in our breeding partnership agreement for about half what you would normally buy it for. And so if you wanted to experience the foaling process and take care of the mare all the way through the gestation, and then at the end if you see something that you really like, then you can buy the foal yourself. And if you don't buy the foal, we can sell it, and we split the price. So if it sells for $10,000, then we each get $5,000. At 6 months of age, if it doesn't sell, then we come at no cost to you and pick the baby up and bring the foal back to our property. So we're not burdening you with additional horses that you don't want. So that's a good program. I know we'll talk more about that, but that's a really important one for us. We have 35 breeding partnerships not currently, and we have 17 more that are on our list. And so it's a wonderful way to be able to, you know, to really have this horse on your property that may cost upwards of $30,000 imported from England that you maybe have less than $1,000 in it. So the way we monitor, and part of this is really, and I'll get into some of the other programs as well, but the monitoring of our horses, you know, we have the right to, and we do stop by your unannounced every now and again. And so, you know, and they're all over the country. So when we have one of our people out, we might stop by. But for the most part, we do a really good screening up front. And, you know, we turn away dozens and dozens of people that just don't meet the requirements. But we want to make sure we get a good conversation with your vet. We get references from your farrier. We get references from your neighbors. We have pictures of your facility. We understand how much disposable income you have and what kind of horse experience you have before you take one of our, you know, one of our mares to your property. And so, the horse comes first. But, you know, as we find those qualified people, then it really has been a blessing to a lot of families that now have these wonderful animals that they normally would never be able to afford. We every year we have an Honoring Our Heroes Facebook kind of nomination process and program that, you know, allows us and allows our fan base to help us choose and select among nominees. This is our third year. 2 years ago, we were able to donate one of our horses, a gelding, to Chris Kelly in California. He's an Iraq war veteran. And then last year, it was a fireman in Pennsylvania. And so this year, we're in the process now on our fan page, which you may, I don't know if you've seen that, but we went through a process of what are the categories. We, you know, the fan base selected an injured veteran, a wounded warrior, to be the category of who we're going to nominate. And then now we're going to the process of selecting the horse, which we're done on Monday. We have two different geldings we're letting people select which one, and they're both, you know, $20,000+ horses. I mean, we're not giving away horses that are, you know, the culls. We're giving away the top geldings we have because it's going to represent us and it's going to represent someone that's very deserving. So, you know, we pick several different horses. We let people help us choose which horse is going to be donated based on the way it looks and the temperament and all that stuff. And then we'll have a nomination form up through July 3rd. And July 3rd, we will, based on the most votes and the applicants themselves, will help inform us to make the decision on who we're going to donate the horse to. We've done this for Shangri-La here in Lenoir City, Tennessee. It's a therapeutic riding academy for disabled children. Humboldt, Tennessee, we donated a horse there. We want to donate 2 to 3 horses a year to different charities and different nonprofits that and individuals that are deserving and that really can use these horses. Because, again, it goes back to the first question you asked, you know, why this horse? You know, it's beautiful, it's amazing, and it loves people. And so, you know, the kids and, you know, people that just want to be around horses find these horses to be amazing because they do want to be with you so much.
And they're so obviously they're chosen to become a part of a family, and they're for the purpose of the pleasure of their company. And you said riding is also, is it a big component of that? Do people want to ride these, or do they just, what do they want to do with them?
Yeah, the horse. I mean, it's you know, the horses are wonderful riding animals, and people are doing some reining, they're doing dressage. I drive the horses in the summer. We'll take them out once or twice a week. We go to parades and do weddings, but, you know, pulling carts and the gypsy vanner, you know, the vanner comes in England is known as a gypsy cob or a gypsy horse. And Dennis Thompson, who brought him over, he coined the term vanner because they basically cart people, you know, their primary purpose in their origination with the Romani gypsies was to pull the big caravans. And so from the caravan, he named Vanner, and that's where the Vanner name comes from. And it stuck, and then now that's really what most Americans know the horse as, a Gypsy Vanner.
What do you see the future for? What does the future look like from your vantage point for this breed?
Well, we were looking the other day. There's only, I know my numbers may be a little off, but approximately 7,000 horses in the United States. Of those, only probably less than 2,000 are registered horses. And so that means there are a lot of cross, you know, some crossbreeds and horses without lineage that you know, they have some gypsy in them, but they're not a registered purebred horse. And so there's very, very few in terms of overall numbers of registered animals. of which several hundred have been registered from us. And so, you know, we're very pleased to be a big part of the breed and to promote the breed in the United States. But the future and where the, you know, where the breed is going over the last several years with a tough economy, we've been able to really, you know, continue to sell. And in our farm, this time of year, the farm, you know, every week we're going to have, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 people visit our ranch. And the popularity is growing now because of certain, you know, programs and because people are starting to get to understand that, you know, the horse is a wonderful riding horse. It's got a really sharp head. I mean, it thinks what it's doing, and it's not, you know, hot or, you know, very warm-blooded where it's going to be jumpy or anxious. I mean, they just kind of hang out, and they can, for that reason, you know, on a trail ride through creeks or, you know, over obstacles on the road, they're just wonderful because they help, you know, they help you, the rider, in your decision making processes, and they're not going to jump and throw you off. But because of those things and the economy as it turns around and starts to come back, you know, we see this being, you know, it's just a matter of getting people to recognize and know the breed, because again, with only 7,000 here, most people have never seen or even know what this breed is. And so once people come out to the farm, they see them, they spend time with them, they generally, you know, if they don't purchase, they're very excited and happy to visit it, and they talk about it. And so the more people we can get to just understand that the breed exists and that, you know, how wonderful these horses are, I think, you know, the future is unlimited.
Are you close to Nashville, or where are you in relation to Nashville?
I'm in Knoxville, so I'm about 2.5 hours. Well, the ranch is in between. It's about 40 miles west of Knoxville, so we're at exit 350, so, you know, 200 miles from Nashville.
Okay, because I'm going to Nashville this summer for a small family reunion, and I just thought, well, if I could take a little side trip, that would be awesome to come out there.
We'd love for you to. Yeah, it's about, you know, from Nashville, it's about 2 hours maybe.
Okay. I don't know. If I can take an extra day off work, maybe I can make that happen. Well, thank you so much for telling us about this. And as far as the way the horse looks, the first thing I thought of, because of the skirted sort of hooves, it reminded me of the Clydesdale. Is there any relationship there?
Yeah, there's a history that, you know, the Welsh pony, possibly some Clydes, but really the Clydesdale is not as big a factor, and most people would say that it's probably not part of the breed, but the Shire and the Welsh pony have been you know, big factors in developing the breed over time. And so you have the heavy feather and the cob type body, you know, the bigger, stouter, heavy barreled, you know, horse and heavy bone, thick boned horse that would remind you of Clydesdale. Most people, when they see him, they would think, well, is that a smaller Clydesdale? But because of the refinement of the head, and once you get to know what you're looking at, it's, you know, it's very far off from what a Clydesdale is. But it does have that first impression that gives you, you know, Clydesdale similarity.
Yes, the feathering was the word I was looking for. What's the life expectancy?
Well, people say a few different things. You know, if you take care of the horse and eat just like anything else, if it eats properly and it's well maintained and cared for, the horses can live 30 years. Some would say some horses live over 30 to maybe 35. But we, you know, generally speaking, our vets and people that, you know, that have owned these horses for a long time would say, you know, between 25 and 30 years is what you can expect. I own several 23-year-old mares that are still running active and, you know, wonderful horses. So to buy from Lexland, and there's some things on the website to talk about this, you're going to get DNA, you're going to get the registered horse. We pay for registration for DNA, all shots. If the horse on our property, we pay for all costs until you take the horse. I bought a horse, and then the next day they had, you know, $2,000 worth of vet bills racked up on it. And you know, I'm like, well, why am I paying for that? And it's pretty standard here that, you know, most people would do that. So for us, we really like the fact that if you come and you buy, the buy price is all you're going to pay until you get the horse. You know, we're not going to upcharge you for anything else while it's on our farm.